Okay, good afternoon and welcome to A&R Around the World. I am not Uncle Dave Lewis, contrary to what your program says, but I did receive some notes from him, so if it sounds like I know what I'm talking about, that's Uncle Dave. If it sounds like I'm lost and I'm mispronouncing everything, that's me. Our first speaker is Yevgeny Platonov. He is deputy director of the Audio Lab at the Moscow State Tchaikovsky Conservatoire, and Yevgeny has told me this is a multifunctional complex which includes an audio archive, concert halls, and control rooms. They record all concerts in the conservatory and issue approximately 10 CDs each year, and he is the producer and editor for these CDs. And if you're interested, he has some available for purchase. Brought them all the way from Russia, and you can see him after the presentation or anytime during the conference for that. All of those performances on the CDs, by the way, are otherwise unreleased. He's going to talk today about Samuil Feinberg, a Russian pianist, and Yevgeny has told me he feels that Feinberg is his musical grandfather, as he studied with Feinberg's last pupil. Feinberg is, for those of you who don't know, is a highly significant Russian composer and piano pedagogue of the post-Scriabin generation. And now I present Yevgeny Platonov. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. And thank you for all. I'm happy to be here and speak on this conference. So as Rich said, my research is dedicated to Samuil Feinberg, one of the most brilliant representatives of the 20th century Russian piano performance. The founder of the Soviet School of Piano Playing, along with Alexander Goldenweiser, Konstantin Igumenov, Lev Oborin, Grigory Ginsburg, and Heinrich Neuhaus. An outstanding composer and a prominent theorist of piano playing. You know, his book, Pianism as Art, is practically like a Bible for each pianist. Up until the present time, his performing legacy has not been given a proper amount of attention in scholarship. This is partly due to the fact that only a small portion of the pianist's immense repertoire has remained in recording. Then again, it's also due in part to the fact that researchers are not in possession of the entire scope of information about the surviving recordings of the great musician and their whereabouts. Lists of Samuil Feinberg recordings, which could be found in various sources, are not exhaustive, as they cite only the recordings which were officially released, and even so never mentioning all of them at once. Particularly, my knowledge of the existence of a rather substantial amount of Feinberg's recordings, which are unpublished and hitherto unknown, is what inspired me with the idea of gathering together and releasing the information of all the preserved recordings of Samuil Feinberg, and thus of bringing them into the scope of research, which would undoubtedly aid musicians study the recordings of this outstanding person. So my first and main task was just to answer three simple questions. What, where, and when? That is, what recordings were made, where are they stored, and when they were made. A couple months ago, I was sure that my work is completely done, but suddenly new materials from Feinberg's home archive was appeared, and now my work still continues. However, I would like to present some of the result achieved. Okay. The primary sources were studied first of all. I mean the archives which stored the original recordings of Feinberg. Among them, the State Television and Radio Fund, the State Fund for Phonographic Documents, the Melodious Firm Sound Archive, the Moscow Conservatory Sound Archive, and Feinberg's Home Archive, and various other available sources. The entire output of Feinberg's recordings covers the time span of 1929 to 1962. It could be divided generally into three categories. First, gramophone recordings and radio broadcast recordings. Second, conservatory studio recordings, the so-called methodic requirements. This term requires some explanation. During the Soviet period in Soviet Union, each conservatory professor was required each year to make recordings at the conservatory studio. Those could be compositions frequently performed by students but not available at the sound archive, also new works by Soviet and foreign composers, etc. And third, homemade or work recordings made on personal tape recorder at home or at conservatory. Gramophone recordings and radio broadcast recordings are the most available and well-known of all, probably except his first recordings. The first recordings pertain to 1929 during the pianist's tours to Berlin and Vienna. Although he was still in Italy in 1925 and Germany in 1927, but nothing is known about recordings of these tours. You can see the program of the concert in Berlin on March 12, 1929. And fortunately, it was partly recorded and released on gramophone records by the Polydor firm in the same year and re-released in 1999 by the Arbiter firm in USA. These records were stored in Feinberg's home archive, while recordings from them are kept in the archives of the Moscow State Conservatory. Here you can see the list of first Feinberg's recordings. It's quite short. And today we will be able to hear an extract from one of the first recordings from these years. I'd like to show you. Oh my God, just a minute. First, we listen the Bach organ concerto after Vivaldi in Feinberg's piano transcription. He made this transcription in the horrible post-revolutionary year in 1918, especially for performances in Red Army clubs. Apparently not because of sympathy for Bolsheviks, but to survive this time. And so we'll listen. Thank you. Especially interesting is the addition into the concert program and recording of the compositions by Samuel Fambell's contemporary, Alexei Stanchinsky, and namely his prelude in the form of a canon, quite rarely performed nowadays. And now we can listen it also. Fambell was one of the best interpreters of Scriabin's music. It's known that composer himself attended one of the pianist's recitals and commended him to the performance of the fourth sonata. And now I want to show you Fragilité of Scriabin in the Fambell's performance. Okay. The 1930s witnessed the recording of some of Bach's preludes and fugues from his well-tempered clavier, Beethoven's Appassionata, selections from Schumann's Wilde Szenen, Liszt's Consolations, etc. You can see two dates near of recordings near some play pieces. It means they were recorded twice in different time. Little known recording of the Bourré from Bach's English Suite in A minor, the only surviving gramophone record is preserved at the State Archive for Phono Documents. And listen again, Fambell's Bach. Just a moment, Bourré here. Thank you. And you see that recordings of 1930s are on the three pages. And in 1940s, the pianist recorded Bach's Partita in B flat major and the Chromatic Fantasy and Fugue, as well as pieces by Liszt, Liadov, Rachmaninov, Scriabin, and his own compositions. This is recordings of 1940s. Yeah. And I want to listen from recordings of this time, Scriabin's Mazurka, Opus 25, number 7. The 1950s and 1960s, when doctors forbade him to go on tours, Feinberg made recordings more frequently and systematically. He continued making recordings until his very last days. His final recording was made a week before his death in 1962. This is a list of these time recordings. And you see, it's already 10 pages. It's more 100 titles was recorded him in this time. This is most well-known part of musician audio heritage, which was released and has been re-released numerous times by Melodia Firm and also released on CD by various labels, both legal and pirated ones. It features, first of all, two books of Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier, Beethoven's sonatas, Schumann's cycles, Scriabin's works, and the pianist's own composition. The least studied part of Feinberg's studio audio heritage features unpublished recordings from the archives of the Moscow State Conservatory. Made as methodic requirements, as well as a recording from the home archive, also kept in the sound archive of the Moscow State Conservatory. Not too many musicians know that in addition to the commonly known released recording of the Well-Tempered Clavier, there also exists another variant of the cycle recording half of part one and all of part two. These are essentially recordings of the run-through, in other words, rehearsals prior to the radio recordings made at small hall of the conservatory, for which Feinberg brought his own tape recorder to the hall, as well as the aforementioned methodic requirements. These recordings are under restoration now, and I hope they will be released by Moscow Conservatory at the end of this year. Incidentally, the Well-Tempered Clavier, the two parts in entirety, was presented by Feinberg in his final examination at the conservatory. Any prelude and fugue on the choice of the examination board, and after performed for the first time in Russia in three concerts in 1914 at the Synod College Hall, presently the Rachmaninoff Hall of the Moscow Conservatory. In addition to him, as the Russian newspaper mentioned, the cycle was played in its entirety only by Karl Tausig, moreover in transposition, and the pianist Kaun. The critic of the aforementioned newspaper marked especially the performance of the prelude and fugue in B flat minor from part two. And in my opinion, Feinberg is one of the few pianists whose performance of the cycle is just possible to appreciate hearing in its entirety. As to how do these recordings differ from the released recordings, we could judge ourselves by hearing it. And first we listen prelude in B flat minor from official release, and second from his home archive, and feel the difference, especially on the octave move in the left hand. I pay attention to this. So the first variant is official releasing. Just a moment. With the recording from this, his home archive made before official recording in the studio. Thank you. And among Feinberg's recordings, there are very few of Chopin's music. All the more precious as a result are those which were made as methodic requirements, featuring the fourth ballad and a few preludes. At that recording of the fourth ballad was made in two versions on Steinway and Bechstein grand pianos, apparently as a means of trying out the new pianos. And as an example of Chopin's recordings, we can listen short prelude in G major. The selection of recordings owned by Moscow Conservatory also includes two unique recordings made live from Feinberg's concerts. Two parts from his own second piano concerto with Moscow Philharmonic Orchestra under Yuri Silantiev conductor, and Scriabin's fifth sonata, recorded on January 22, 1948, in small hall of the conservatory. Among the unreleased recordings from Feinberg's home archive, there are unique documents of Feinberg's performance in ensemble. There are well known his concert performances with all of Beethoven's sonatas with the violinist Boris Sibor, as well as the four-hand performance together with Sergei Prokofiev of Schubert's waltzes in the latter's transcription. Unfortunately, these performances were not recorded. At the home archives, some work recordings have been preserved, moreover, in several variants of the pianist performing his romances together with Lydia Davidova. And now we can listen Feinberg's romance on the Pushkin's text, Do Not Sing Beauty Before Me. Just a moment, I just find it here.
Я прибыла к ней, и рука мой, тебя убила, но ты поешь.
The work on attributing the recordings of Feinberg has not yet been completed. There are still numerous mistakes present in the archival descriptions of the recordings, and sometimes comparative audio analysis is required to in order to determine the time of the creation of the recording. Here you can see an example of such kind of mistake. You see a recording date taped on the top of the card means that recording was made a year after death of the pianist. Yeah, you see, it's a lot of mistakes.
He was very good.
So, when this work of attributing was complete, I intend to publish it in print or the internet on the Moscow Conservatory site. In conclusion, I would like to present one of the last compositions to be recorded by pianist, the well-known Largo from Organ Sonata in C Major. On the 1st October 1962, Feinberg taught his last lesson at the conservatory, and as if in a gesture of farewell, performed it before leaving the class. With this composition, he also accompanied his friend and teacher, Alexander Goldenweiser, upon his final journey, having performing this work at his funeral ceremony at the Grand Hall of the Moscow Conservatory. It's his own transcription, of course, of the Bach's organ sonata. So listen it. Thank you. Thank you for your attention. I hope you enjoyed Fembris playing. I'm ready to ask your questions, but I'm afraid that my English is too poor. to so. Last piece was Largo from Organ Sonata by Bach, in transcription by Feinberg. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Were these transcriptions printed?
Yes, they are printed in Russia. It's possible to get and to even to scan, for example, yeah. Yeah, they are printed, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know how it was recorded? Was it tape recorder at that time, or still some other technique?
1948. Yes. It's you mean a live recording?
Yes.
I think it was recorded on one mic, and on the tape. I think it was something like in that time in concert. It was, I think, Telefunken. Telefunken. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, thank you, Evgeny, for beautiful music.
Thank you. Thank you very much.